News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA post-show. It's April 10th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, thedroelpearl.com on Blue Sky. We're back. And with me, as always, well, it's been a few weeks, but you know who is back. You know who the person is back. The one I only want to be with is Cresta Starr. How you doing, Cresta?
I've had this throat situation happening for the past couple of weeks, and I don't know what's happening. So maybe I'm dying, but I am being saved by pro wrestling, and I'm here with the beautiful Joel Pearl. How are you, Joel?
I'm okay. I've said this on In the Weeds last couple of days. I apologize for last week's show. It didn't happen for a couple of reasons. One is actually the fault of Sportsnet 360 here in Canada. I watch it on my streaming service, not a streaming service. It's actually through a cable provider, but on an app. And the app was crashing on me. Like, I would open the app, try to start the show, it would freeze and boot me out. And it happened for like the first 45 minutes to an hour. By the time I was ready to catch up, like, I couldn't catch up in time, and I would have been flustered, and the show would have sucked. And it sucked because a lot of stuff happened last week. So I felt bad, especially when, like, I got so frustrated that I, like, turned around. I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to bed. And I go to bed, and I wake up the night, and it's like 10 o'clock. I go to bed. And then I wake up the next morning to a bunch of messages from people being like, no post show, no post show, no post show. I'm like, I'm sorry. It was my bad for not better communicating it. I apologize to people for that. I tweeted it and I put it on Blue Sky, but anyway. And I apologize to people who really wanted some sort of content from us about TNA. Couldn't do it, but we're here this week. We're not here next week because I'm in Vegas. I'm not at Unbreakable. I will be giving you some TNA content, though. More on that a little later, maybe when it happens. But there's some stuff in the pipeline for me in Vegas and TNA, so we'll get to that when we get to it. But yes, this week we're here, we're live. We'll catch you up a little bit from last week, and we'll also next week we're not going to be here, but you know, Cress has got a collision show to cover. It's live on a Thursday. That's more fun than that. It's going
to
be a big collision.
That's news to me. This is why Fightful is the best, because I just found out some news right now. I didn't know collision was going to be.
Collision is live, by the way. AEW Collision is live next Thursday. There will be most likely a post show for that because it's honest to God a bigger deal than the tape TNA Impact, and then after that is Unbreakable. And we'll talk about what's going on with Unbreakable and the shows that are coming up. But yes, there is Collision. Who's going to be co-hosting with you? I don't know, because Rick will be with me in Vegas, as will Iridian. So maybe SP3 or Kate will pop in with you. You'll figure it out.
Yo, we're so lucky we're live right now, because the way I almost shut down my computer. First of all, how is everyone meeting you before me? Second of all, how come everybody's going to be...
I've already met Rick, by the way. I met him at SummerSlam in like 2021.
I'm not going to scream. I hate you guys. I hate you guys.
You know, and you know what? Next week's TNA is going to be good. Again, it's all part of the tapings. The way that the tapings were explained to me after they happened was like, for those who were live and for people who were reading the spoilers, it's going to feel really disjointed. But there was an understanding amongst talent and staff that the way that the shows were actually mapped out, and I got this from a few people at TNA, that like the way it's mapped out is actually going to make a lot of sense, because let's not forget that Unbreakable is live next week. But they had taped those two nights in St. Joseph like 2 weeks ago, and that was supposed to cover everything up until Rebellion. So while Rebellion is the week after Unbreakable, they still had to put together something to make Unbreakable important, and that's where we got the announcement of the International Championship, which had my feelings on the name International Championship being used for a TNA title in 2025. That notwithstanding, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But because we didn't talk about it last week, I do kind of want your thoughts on the announcement that the Digital Media Champion is scrapped. There's no more Digital Media Championship. They're now going to crown a TNA International Champion. That's going to be at Unbreakable. And they also added a little bit of something for Rebellion, which we'll get to in a minute. But what were your thoughts when they announced the title?
You know, part of me was like, well, everyone's got an intercontinental, international, intermediate. It makes sense. And also the Digital Media Championship was kind of like, you know, hey, you want it. Hey, you do it. So, hey, you did it. That being said, it's still another mid-card title. I'm glad that they're trying to get this away from maybe the yuck, you got to do this for the digital media. So I don't hate it. I don't hate it. But then again, I don't know if there's a legacy, because I always thought the digital media was kind of like a response to the Matt Cardona Internet Championship thing, and it just kind of took on a life of its own.
The Digital Media Championship was almost their version of a television title, but taking TV and making it into the 2015, when they announced it, they didn't really have a TV deal. So the Digital Media Championship was like, hey, we're on Twitch. Why would we say we have a TV deal, or why would we have a television title when we're primarily a Twitch and YouTube content? And that was smart. And there was a lot of opportunity at the time to do more with it. I think I remember Sean and I talking about what if Jordan Grace, who was the first Digital Media Champion and was also really popular on OnlyFans, what if she used her OnlyFans as like a place to have Digital Media Championship matches that she would like release on that platform, and then later on it would be released through TNA. I get it, TNA would probably be like, well, where's our money in this? But you have a champion who has a very large following through OnlyFans, and like, both could have done very well with that. Instead, it wasn't the case. They went with something else, and the Digital Media Championship became kind of like the pre-show title, the lower tier title, which it had a place. But the International Championship, as I've come to understand it, is that intercontinental title. It is a workhorse title. It is, and we talk about this all the time. The men's division in TNA has a lot of stars in it, and they need to break it up sometimes. So this is an opportunity for them to change it up and have that mid-card title that means a little bit more and maybe becomes a stepping stone to a world championship. Speaking of world championships, you should probably do the following to become a world champion, in my view. You can go ahead and leave a thumbs up on the video. That's a big start. Let's do that. Subscribe to us here at Fightful. Whether you do it here on this YouTube channel and you do it for free, and we appreciate that, that's the best way to support us. You can also support us with some money if you got some, with our super chats. And you can also go to humperchats.com and you can leave something there. Cresta, tell them the story.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to head all over to humperchats.com. Put in your chat. That will become a super duper humper chat once you hit send after a money amount has been put in the money box. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. Sean pays us. We pay the little men to continue to tie our shoes because we're bougie and we're rich. And that could be all for you and for us at humperchats.com.
We have little men who tie our shoes?
I have one doing it right now. What do you mean?
Oh, damn. Are you wearing shoes in the house?
Not the feet for free.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just look down and say yes or no.
Yes or no.
You're not Jordan Grace over here.
I'll do whatever I got to do to get these rookie numbers up since we're giving out flights to Vegas.
My situation was a little different. Living in Canada and telling Sean how much the return flights were, he turned to me and said, yes, absolutely. Put it like that. The fact that I could get a return flight from Vegas for 200 Canadian really, really floored some people, but I have my
ways. That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah, I had my ways and I knew when to pull the trigger. So there is that. Where was I? We did the Humper Chats. We did the Super Chats. And of course, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business. $5.99 will give you good time. We got a free tier as well, where we drop a lot of free news. Some of it is TNA related as well, so you're never without. And of course, we've got all the other stuff that's coming up and going on. I'm not flying Spirit because I'm Canadian. So instead, I'll be flying with other carriers. And I'm not going to say who because that just feels weird to me.
Nah, just be safe and don't fly Spirit unless you want to become one.
I'm not flying Spirit. There are certain lines that even I will draw. Most of the time. But I'll tell you where I'm staying, by the way. I'll tell you where I'm staying. And that is with the beautiful, wonderful friends at Circa, where they're hosting Circa Mania. If you want to go see a very fun time, Chris Van Vliet's going to be there. Busted Open's going to be there. I'm going to beat up the Busted Open crew, by the way. And tons of fun stuff. Our pals over at Wrestling Windown are going to be at Circa Mania too. They're going to be hosting an event at Circa. So if you want to be there and you're in Vegas, come and hang out. That's where I'm staying. And thank you to them because they rule. They've got an amazing, amazing resort, hotel, pool, giant screens, all the fixins you can imagine. They are at Circa. I'll be there for Vegas. I'll be there for WrestleMania. You should come and hang out too. So, well, I mean, listen, how often am I going to be there? As much as I can. But I'm also going to be getting you a lot of scoops and a lot of content over WrestleMania week, so come and hang out in Las Vegas. Yeah, the Wind Down pals are great. Iridian is also going to be part of that. That's why I mentioned it, because she's one of us. We appreciate
it. I want you to have all the fun. And I would like to live vicariously through you, through social media. So tweet a lot, skeet a lot. That's a blue sky thing. And I can't remember if you have Instagram or not, but do that too. Yes.
I do.
Do all the stuff.
Yep. I will be doing as much as I can to give you guys as much as I can. My hope is that when I can also hop on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. And maybe do a live stream here and there, depending on the quality of the internet. The quality of the internet. Did you know that I've been basically talking into a microphone for most of the day? Can you tell? It has happened. And I'm back.
I mean, honestly, you do what you have to do to stay strong. So
let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Impact opens up with Ethan Page. At Rebellion, they've announced that Frankie Kazarian, Ethan Page, and Joe Hendry will be added in a triple threat. And they're also calling it a triple main event, which means we're doing the Bound for Glory thing again, where the top three matches are triple main eventing. And I really hope they don't do this moving forward. Please stop. Your main event should just be, it should be that one marquee match. That's the one you want. Please, saying that you're going to do the world title is as important as your tag titles, as important as your knockouts title. Pick the title that's important. Pick the story that's important. Make that the focus. Make that the main event. That's my nitpick. Ethan Page comes out, says he's beat Joe Hendry before. He calls him a catchy song and a catchphrase, and wears a tight shirt and has a slim, shitty haircut. All the stuff you've heard about Joe Hendry before. He's going to win the title, bring it back to TNA. And I thought to myself, well, you win the North American title first, because that is also something you might be doing over
the weekend. Drag him. Get him. Get him, yeah, Joel.
That's right. Although he can have both. He can win the TNA title and have the North American title. So it'll be okay. Anyway, Frankie Kazarian comes out. Calls Ego feeble-minded idiot, which is great, by the way, because this whole time you've got Frankie Kazarian being himself, and he says, you're an abrasive, self-centered, arrogant asshole, and I can't stand you. And then Ethan says, oh, so you hate both of us.
A line. I mean, honestly, he says, like, so why are you cutting the promo on yourself, Frankie?
It's great. Santino comes out and says Joe Hendry's coming out tonight. He's got an announcement for Unbreakable, and both men are just kind of like, oh, what could it be? And Ethan Page is like, I got my match. What do you think of this opening segment? And what did you think of Ethan Page making his return to Impact TNA last week, as it were, to do the main event for Rebellion?
I love Ethan Page. Well, I'm going to say love, because love is a strong word. But I do like Ethan Page, and I always feel a little jobbed that I didn't really watch the Northern Army. Not the Northern Army. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
North.
Just the North. Well, Canada's got me all messed up, man. But yeah, I miss them when they were in the North, watching them consistently. And him on the mic is, to me, is just gold. That's just butter in your ears. Kazarian is the perfect guy. Beat that uncle up. I've had it with this uncle. Beat him up. So yeah, I can't wait to see how this turns out. Because I feel like, respectfully, Joe Hendry's going to win that. But it'll be a good match.
Yeah, it will be a good match. And I do think Joe Hendry was going to retain. There is a world where I could see. Sorry, I don't want to put it out there in case it happens. I can see Kazarian winning.
Yikes!
Because then we're back to what I talked about, which was Kazarian winning, carrying the title into New York, and then it's going to be Mike Santana who wins it. And I don't think that is a strong enough story when you have Ali and Santana as like your A1 story in TNA.
Yo, absolutely.
If it happens, I don't know how I'm going to feel, but I could see Joe Hendry retaining and maybe dropping it at one of the plus shows soon.
I don't know about dropping it at a plus show. I would hope that it wouldn't be like that, but I still think you're onto something with Santana winning it in New York. I still think you're onto something with that. I don't know how we get there, though.
Again, there's no reason why you shouldn't have Ali win the title from Joe Hendry. I thought you could maybe do it as early as Rebellion, but obviously that's not what they're planning. Unless someone gets taken out and Ali suddenly gets in. I know that he and Santana have been announced for another match at Rebellion, which I hope has some sort of stakes involved. Maybe it's number one contendership. You could do, again, Joe Hendry could drop the title at a plus show, because the problem is after Rebellion, your next pay-per-view is Slammiversary in July. So you've got Under Siege. Sorry, not, is it Under Siege? Yeah, in Toronto. Brampton. Sorry. And then you've got... It's true. I mean, Toronto's not... Brampton's like way out there. It's fine. It's like a 45-minute... Am I going? I don't know yet. We'll see if they want me there. So there's that. And then they've got Against All Odds in June. They announced that's going to be happening in Tempe, Arizona. So you could do it in one of those two, depending on what they think the story is. And then you've got to get to a July pay-per-view that you really are trying to fill the house in. And right now, like, the ticket sales are good. There's obviously no matches announced, because you have Unbreakable, and then you have a pay-per-view, and then you have the two shows that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So like, you have time to build, but you want to be as strong as you can going into New York and going into Slammiversary, which is why I'm sitting here and I'm like, Ali with that title coming in and Santana being the challenger, the hometown boy, that is a hot TNA main event for your audience. And then you just load it up with literally all the other stuff, whether that's, you know, the Hardys in a car crash match, or a big like TNA OGs match or something like that. WWE gets involved, because they will. NXT will be involved in the Slammiversary show and all that. There's enough there that you can do it, but that is the main event for your TNA world title. It should be, to me, Ali and Santana.
Like, I hear you, but I'm also Joe Hendry stan, so I'm not going to be unbiased. I kind of want him to have a long run. Screw all these guys. How about that? I agree. They haven't done with it, but I think he should stay champion despite them, because you haven't done anything with me. So how about that?
Some of the chat saying, what if he drops it on a live episode of Impact? I would love that just as much, because that is the next possible time where you have people really eyeing your show on a live episode. So that's not a bad idea. Again, most of what they air is streaming. If you're watching in the States, like, you've got it on Access, but you can watch it on TNA Plus. In Canada, it's only on Sportsnet. So like, you have the options. I don't hate the idea of dropping it in Irvine after Rebellion. That would be a quick turnaround. We'll see. Again, if they're going to lean into the injury that he has and him being stubborn, and we'll talk about the main event in a minute, or at least the main event segment, if he's going to be stubborn with this injury he has, then that's a way to get the title off of him as well.
That's a good point too. That's a good point. So also, if he ever wants to run it back, you can say, well, I was injured, I never lost it. So if it is a complete passing of the torch, you have your reason for the second match and then the third to put it to bed.
You know what? Since we're there, we're talking about the opening promo. Let's just wrap a bow on this. Joe Hendry comes out at the end of the show and he starts. And you know what? This is what I was talking about. This is the first time we've gotten a serious promo from Joe Hendry. And he talks about, you know, I'm injured, or I said I'd put this title up against anyone, anytime, anywhere, and I want to be a good champion, blah, blah, blah. He's teasing dropping of the title. He says, medical team, they advised me not to compete, but medical team be damned, which makes me laugh, because last week the medical team was like, oh, if you believe in Joe Hendry and we believe, then he's going to be just fine. So why did he come out and say medical team be damned? Anyway, he says he's going to defend the title at Rebellion, despite having a torn rotator cuff and all this stuff. It was stuff that happened last week when Elijah inadvertently tried to get him away from Frankie Kazarian in a beatdown. Okay, so out comes Kazarian. They do a thing. Says, I know you're beat up, but I'm going to beat you at Rebellion. And then that's when Joe Hendry makes the match for Unbreakable. It's going to be Frankie Kazarian and Tessa taking on Joe Hendry and Masha Slamovich, because they're going to do Tessa and Masha for the Knockouts title at Rebellion. Fine. it is what it is. All Ego's working a show at, you know, 9 a.m. on Saturday, so you want to give him some time to relax. Stand and Deliver starts at 9:30.
Why?
Because it's Pacific time. It's 9 Pacific, and it's noon. It's 12:30 Eastern, so that's why. Stand and Deliver is ungodly early for people who are going to be in Vegas. You got to shift everything back 3 hours. That's why, like, Hall of Fame is going to start at, like, 1 a.m. where you guys are.
Hey, yo. I mean, I'm going to be real with you, and this is just my two cents. I would probably do it, whatever's best for the performers. We'll adjust. After this whole WWE in Europe, it's very clear people will adjust. So I would rather get a good show. And as an East Coaster, it works out for me to an extent. But at the same time, does it? Does it?
Yeah. No talent is not to be at the arena at 3 a.m. It's not. That's not an actual thing that's happening. But it is an ungodly early call time. So either way, that's, yeah, NXT Stand and Deliver is an early show. I will be there. I will be one of the few people who are there chipper on a Saturday morning because I'm crazy like that. Also because I might still be living on East Coast time at that point. So I'll be up at 6:30. Yeah.
That's fair. But Jesus Christ, man. What?
Yeah. But yeah, that's the Unbreakable match. They're doing the mixed tag. Joe and Masha have been in a tag team scenario like 4 times now. So that's actually very funny to me. But yeah, that's a match that's happening. So anyway.
Anything nah. Not really. At first, I thought Joe Hendry was really about to relinquish the title. So you got me, gal. You had me in the first half, not going to lie. As far as going forward, I don't know. At some point, Frankie got to call his shot. And all this posturing, I think with him not doing so, us speculating is not going to mean anything. Because I feel like even if you don't cash it in on Joe, you could cash it in on whoever if you don't get into a match with Joe. You know what I mean? Like, you could still be a scumbag. But is he cashing it in now at Rebellion? Is that technically a cash in? Because I feel like he announced that he was cashing in.
Yeah, because he said, I'm going to be a man and cash in on Joe Hendry at Rebellion. And then All Ego comes out and Ethan Page says,
that was last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Last week he's like, oh, it's so easy. You just go talk to Santino, butter him up, and he'll put you in a title match. And that's how it became a triple threat.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I see a lot of cheating, a lot of shenanigans, but I do see Joe coming out on top of this. And it's one of those things where it's like, what are we going to do here, Kazarian? Because you spent, you know, like pretty much the whole year making this your personality. What happens then, King of TNA?
He works his way to getting his... He's going to try and get it back. He's going to try. He's going to say he got screwed.
He got stooged out.
It was against my will. I was told to do this. It would be some ridiculous shit.
True.
Anyway, let's move forward. Gia Miller's backstage with Steve Maclin. They mentioned the Unbreakable Triple Threat Tournament. So for those who are just joining us, International Championship will be decided at Unbreakable. It's a series of triple threat matches. One was tonight, so that tournament began tonight. The other two are going to be at Unbreakable, and then the winner of those two matches will go on to face the winner of tonight's tournament match. And there's a little extra twist that we'll get to when we talk about the actual triple threat that happened. But Maclin says he's here to stack bodies, hit a KIA, and then he'll handle the system when they inevitably get involved. Eric Young comes in with Northern Armory and says, we got your back no matter what. And Macklin's like, I don't want you in my business, GTFO. That's basically how it plays out, because in our wrestling main event, you did have Edward Edwards beat Steve Maclin. Lish tries to interfere early and often as one of the only knockouts to actually appear on the show tonight. Get into that a little bit later. Top rope Olympic slam from Maclin on Edwards, caught in the crosshairs. Then the system comes out. Then the Northern Armory come out, but EY doesn't do anything with them. Lish gives Edwards the ring, hits that, and the Boston Knee Party gets the win. And then EY slides the mask to Maclin. I think EY and Maclin are going to be in the finals of that triple threat for the International Championship. What do you think of the Maclin saga, as it would be?
First things first, I like that he's incorporated the Olympic slam into his moveset. It's really good. Off that top rope was also, that was clean. That being said, I don't know what Steve Maclin does here. The character, like, I'm getting jumped by the system, which much like the Death Riders, why are we not jumping these guys right back? We all hate these guys. There's more of us than there is them, but I digress. I wouldn't lie if I said that I wouldn't be mad if I saw him join Eric Young. But I don't see, from his character's perspective, why would I join the Northern Armory and not you so much, Eric Young? Icarus and Williams tried to kill me. They literally zip tied my hands and I got I took a C4 spike to the head. Damn near a psycho knee. You guys literally tried to kill me. I could maybe be cool with you and squash the beef, but those two guys got to go. And then what? A tag team situation? I do like the trajectory that Macklin was on. And now it's like, what are we doing with him? So maybe a break from the main event or the singles division while they sort stuff out and re-foray into the tag, I wouldn't hate it. But I just wanted to make sense in that regard. Like, if I'm Macklin, yeah, even if I'm like, all right, they jumping me, I need the help. These two guys literally tried to kill me.
This is why the International Championship Tournament is interesting to me. So how can I flow this? Because it's very strange given everything. Tonight, AJ Francis beat Mance Warner and Sami Callihan. We'll start with that. That is something that happened tonight. We'll talk about the match in a little bit and how that all played out. At Unbreakable, you've got Zachary Wentz, Eric Young, and JDC in a match. On the other match, it's Edward Edwards, Ace Austin, and Steve Macklin. Edwards and Macklin had a match tonight, and Ace is also tied up with other stuff as well with what was going on with Ali. So, to me, Macklin and EY win because AJ Francis did exactly the thing that could happen at Unbreakable given this scenario. EY and Macklin are in their own thing. AJ Francis is the outsider. AJ just picked the bones of Manson and Sammy, and you just do that again. And there's a possibility that AJ Francis wins the inaugural international championship, which is... it's two things. One, it's going to make a lot of people really mad because we're talking about workhorse champion, and people don't necessarily think of AJ Francis as a workhorse champion, but he is. He's just not known for his in-ring prowess. The other thing that it accomplishes is tells the story of what's going on with EY and Macklin. So it upsets people, but it also kind of makes sense.
But hear me out, right? I would say to someone who's upset about AJ Francis, wouldn't that make sense, though, of everyone to get the belt first? The guy who's been scheming and conniving just for the past 3 months, wouldn't it make sense? And like you said, everyone else is involved in their own thing. So like him winning tonight, that made sense because Sammy and Mance didn't care. This was just a match to them. I'm trying to kill this man. It makes sense to me. It would make sense that AJ Francis, who's really going out there promoting the brand, telling people that he's the reason why Joe Hendry is the most popular, telling people that he's the reason why Joe Hendry got his start, it would make sense for him. So even if you don't like it, it automatically puts that on it. So anyone who beats him is going to be like, yes, thank God, we're going to give this guy a chance. So someone like a Leon Slater beating AJ Francis, you're already a star. This is going to make me more sympathetic to you as a babyface. Or just throwing it out there, not saying it's going to happen. Like if Isaiah Brookside beats up AJ Francis, not saying it happened. But if it happened, we'd be like, okay. And no one's going to remember or say anything about AJ's in-ring prowess because we're happy that it's off you. Kind of like the Moose and the X Division effect. Also, I will say something like that can set the precedent that the X Division championship, which I think is within its own self, is its own champion, own legacy, own lineage. And the amount of workhorsing that you have to do for that versus whatever this will be, I think that's a better precedent to set so people can get back to the workhorse. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, get back to the workhorse of the X Division. Get back to doing all the, not the weight limits, it's about no limits, but really be a no limit soldier. So you can swap a rule. You know what I mean? So I don't hate it. I think AJ Francis being the first champion is definitely the way to be. I think that's the way to go.
So now I'm going to flip this all on its head. By the way, Leon Slater is going to beat Moose. That's just, I hope Leon doesn't win Ultimate X and win the title that way. I'd rather he beat Moose one-on-one in a match. Leon Slater's crowned as the guy moving forward in the exhibition. That's separate.
Ultimate XO is the match, though.
It's a match, but it's also a cheap way to win the title, in my opinion. If you're doing a multi-man match, you're just protecting your champion, and Moose is a guy that doesn't need to be protected. He needs to be making people, because his deal is only so long, and he's only so useful in that X division. His usefulness is making somebody in this run as the X division champion. So let's turn the AJ Francis story on its head. The winner of the title will have to defend it against the person who was not pinned in the finals triple threat at Rebellion. So in other words, if Steve Macklin pins AJ Francis, EY gets the first title shot at Rebellion. You want to get out of the EY and Macklin story? That's how you do it. Macklin wins. He faces EY at Rebellion. It's for the International Championship. Macklin retains. Maybe there's some tomfoolery going on with the Northern Armory, but that is the beginning of the end of that story. And Macklin can move on, have other challengers, have his International Championship run, and that's it. That's why I go to AJ Francis, because he picks the bones, and he could pick the bones of UI and Macklin. However, he can also be the guy that eats the pin, so that you open the door for Macklin and EY at Rebellion, which to me is a hotter match. Francis can do a tag team type of thing with Casey Navarro. Oh no, Casey, I'm not gonna spoil it, but you can't do something with them.
Damn, Joel, if you're exposing the business. All right, next segment.
If you won't.
I don't want to be exposed. I like to find out late, like I found out that Collision's on Thursday.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
That you didn't need to find out late. That was literally promoted for like the last 3 weeks.
To be fair, I've been planning my boyfriend's birthday for the past 3 weeks.
Sounds like a cop-out answer to me.
You know what? Next segment. This is malarkey. I thought Canadian people were nice.
No, we're not. What are you talking about? We've been nice in a long time. Where are we? Now,
Mustafa Ali.
Actually, you know what? Because we're here, let's talk about it. AJ Francis does defeat Mance Warner, Sami Callihan in the first international championship tournament match. Congrats, by the way, to Mance Warner and Steph DeLander. They are engaged for realsies. Steph DeLander has a book that's also coming out. Go check that out. Sean Ross Sapp, our very own, did talk with Steph DeLander. That interview dropped this week, so go give that some love, and also send some love to Mance in STL, because a lovable couple who slobber all over each other on camera, but behind the camera, very sweet. Eye patches are all the rage. Sami Callihan's wearing one. Drew McIntyre's wearing one. At one point, half the AEW roster was wearing one. And again, this whole match was AJ picking the bones in other feuds. And then it devolves to a hardcore match because it's a triple threat. They do a chair fight spot. They have Francis hit the down payment on Mance Warner. Sami Callihan breaks it up with the chair shot. Mance Warner teases doing the eye gouge with the hook, because that's how Mance got him. And instead, he uses his thumb. And then Francis hits the TNFL spear and gets the win. Later on, Sami says, I want a match at Unbreakable. I want Barbed Wire Massacre against Mance Warner. Okay, let's do it. What do you think of this whole gimmick?
I don't like watching Mance Warner and Sami Callihan wrestle. My stomach hurts. These guys were not interested in wrestling a match. They were interested in harming each other. That's truly for the sickos. This wasn't a match. And if I was AJ Francis, I would do the same thing. Let these guys paper cut each other. Disgusted. Let them do all that gross stuff. And then we'll take it from there. This match exactly what when I saw this, I'm like, oh, so we got two people gonna kill each other. So I got exactly what I wanted. That knowing that this match is now going to lead into an even more disgusting match shout out to people who like that stuff. And I, this is the face I have. I'm so sorry, but it was a good match, I guess. But
Sammy wants to make Barbed Wire Massacre his match. He already has, by the way, because he was like, I want the match that made Sabu. I want the match that made Abyss. Sabu did it once in TNA. Of course, he did it other times in ECW. Abyss did it twice. This is Sammy Callahan's fourth Barbed Wire Massacre match.
He's trying to set a precedent, pal.
This is going to be the first one since 2022 at Victory Road. Can you guess the participants? There are three.
Sammy Callahan.
Yes.
PCO.
Nope. Someone got very bloody. I mean, everyone gets bloody in this. But someone got very bloody in this.
Oh, then I don't know. Then I don't know, girl.
Macklin.
Oh, disgusting. I feel like I've seen this match, but I probably blocked it out. And I remember Macklin's face like this. Am I bugging?
Yeah, you got it. And Moose. And Macklin won that match, by the way.
Yo, put the title on Macklin. He's been through enough. He's been through enough.
So I'm telling you, man, this is a workhorse title, the international one. But yes, Sammy is going for his fourth Barbed Wire Massacre match. And Mance and Sammy, I like that they're making this, you know, they've been attached at the hip. This is a hardcore fight. That's exactly what it should be between these two. Sammy is Sammy. Mance is Mance. Just get at it. So it'll be fun. You're going to hate it just because, you know, it's disgusting, as you like to say.
Do you know the origin of that?
We've done this and I...
Okay, work. I had to explain that to someone tonight and I was surprised. Like, what do you mean? I live on the internet. That's what I found out. I live on the internet.
Most people do. Well, that's not true at all. Who am I saying?
You go outside. I'm just...
I have to go outside. Legally, I have to go outside. Otherwise, it's a problem. Oh, that sounds worse than it is.
I mean, sure.
Oh, that sounds awful. All right, where are we? I'm trying to delete some of my messages. Not my messages, some of my notes so I can keep moving. Ace Austin defeats Mustafa Ali by DQ. This was the story of the night. Again, the Ali and Santana stuff played through the night. Shout out to TNA. They are doing a breakfast on the Thursday morning at the Cox Pavilion with Chris Bay and the Hardys. So Chris Bay is going to be live doing a breakfast Q&A. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do that because I have other media obligations that morning, but great to hear that Chris Bay is going to be involved in this breakfast on Thursday at the Cox Pavilion. So good for them. Really happy to see it.
Heck yeah.
Ace Austin, though, he won that match because Ali decided to take a chair to his back after a pretty good start to the match. Here's the first thing I'm going to say, then I'm going to hand it off to you. John Skyler, get your pants hemmed.
Oof.
Everyone else looked great. Come on, John. Get that suit done.
Give him the old man dad advice. Tuck your pants in.
You know what the problem is? I can no longer look at the camera and say I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, because some other long-haired Canadian asshole decided to use that on Wednesday. So now that's his new gimmick, and he's probably going to copyright it. And I don't have a baseball bat, so what does it matter?
Yo, what's going on in Canada? You swear this is a cold New York, colder watch, New York.
Go watch Dynamite.
Nah. I know exactly what you're referencing, but all you Canadians are just mad.
We have a pretty good reason to be. Ace does a good job fighting off Order 4 and hits that handstand move, the handstand that he does, and then the chair to the back from Ali ends the match. This is really what it's about. I don't know if you want to talk about the match itself, because the post-match and everything that followed was the meat and potatoes. Do you want to talk about the match at all?
I mean, the only notes for the match I do have is I noticed that Ace was working really stiff at the beginning of the match. And I always want to know what's going through the good hand's mind when Ali literally did this to y'all last year, the last time he was here, and he's going to dump you off. How does everybody see that but you?
Well, it's glad that you would make that reference, because Santana walks up to Ali as he's about to take out Ace Austin. Ace is being held face first on the turnbuckle, and Ali's got a chair. Santana beats them, takes them. They run away. Order 4 runs backstage. And for some reason, they're now turning it into a Marvel movie, which I didn't really... It gets a little weird when they start turning it into a musical presentation. Anyway, Santana's behind the wheel of the car that Order 4 gets into, and Skyler gets abducted by Mike Santana.
As he should.
Later on, with more music, by the way, Skyler's tied up. Santana's digging a grave or something. And he says exactly what you said. Last time this happened, you got tossed aside. He's going to use you and he's going to throw you out. So I'm going to do it early. He teases hitting Skylar in the face with the shovel. Skylar begs him off, and Santana says he's going to eat Ali alive. So there it is. Everything you said is exactly as it should be conveyed. The Great Hands are dumb in canon. They're actually really nice people in person, but in canon, very dumb.
Very rope-a-dope. I will say that out of all the storylines in TNA right now, this is my favorite. Everybody's doing their part. And I was half joking, half excited, like, wow, when Santana gets his hands on Ali, he's going to kill him. Now this man is calm. Now this man is calculated. Ali, you better run. You better run, man, because he's going to take out your people. And then what you going to do? Tasha Steeles, girl. I mean, I respect it, but run. Run. Santana's going to find, so he's going to kill Diamante or something. Run.
Masha will probably take care of Tasha, let's face it.
Yeah, no, really, really. The only thing, I'm not even going to wish that into the universe. Never mind. Yes, yes, yes. I agree with everything you said.
Moose defeats Cody Deaner. This was something that happened. It opens up with JDC, who's there with Myers and Moose. He offers Cody a spot as a lackey in the system, which is what they did to Leon Slater, who also said no. And then Deaner's like, hey, if I can last 2 minutes, I'll get an X Division title shot. No, I'm sure. Okay. Deaner lasts by basically running away for 2 minutes, getting a little bit of offense in. And then, of course, immediately gets beat by Moose. They did the tease with the spear that turns into the sunset flip, blah, blah, blah. But then immediately they beat Deaner. And what's even funnier is next week they're talking about what's next for Cody Deaner. And it's like, what do you mean next? What's next? Go backstage. Go back to that job. Stop. No. I like Deaner. I think he's, again, great at this. Not storyline. We need to rely on Cody Deaner in 2025 to tell these stories, especially when he's like coming out here trying to be like the nice Hogan. And it just doesn't work. It's a hokey ass gimmick. I get that it's a fan service gimmick. It's just not worth it. I'm sorry. It's not for me. Deaner gets beat. Then the Rascals come down to save him. System runs away. But the next match is actually Myers and JDC. They defeat the Rascals with some cheating because JDC holds down Trey Miguel's legs as Myers gets the pin. We can get into all of that. But yes, the system go perfect today. It took a little bit of cheating, but they got there.
Damn, Joe, I'm going to tell Cody Deaner you hate him.
We follow each other on Twitter. We both live in the province of Ontario. We have passed each other. I've interviewed him. I once told him that we considered the, what was it, Violent by Design to be the evil New Day, and he looked at me cockeyed, but we laughed about it. So, yes, Deaner and I are fine.
I will say this. I'm okay with an underdog getting a shock victory or a quote-unquote unknown getting a shock victory if you've got something set up behind it. Action Andretti is a great example of that. For this much, I brought into Cody Deaner winning. I would personally like to see Moose lose the X Division title. It would be like, oh, wow, we're doing something different. Cody Deaner, even if you got beat by Ali that next week, you know what I mean? It would be different. Once he started running away, I was like, what the fuck is this? I was hoping for something, man. I don't know what I was hoping for, but I was hoping for something. I did not get it. The Rascals versus the System was good. The Bronco Buster in 2025.
I wrote the same note.
Literally, Bronco Buster in 2025. Okay. All right. And to quote Ray Walt, he had a little bit too much gusto on that Bronco Buster. It was a fun match. I don't know. Was it Daniel Spencer in the ring this time? Because now that you said, I'm looking. Because Daniel Spencer was in the ring at the last match, and they was cheating out the ass. So
Daniel Spencer was in the main event match. He did the Macklin match, and don't think I didn't notice that he didn't see Lish slip the ring and Lish get involved early in the match a bunch of times. Come on,
twice, a bunch of times, like, bro, like, you ain't never beaten the allegations.
I'm going to put some blinders on him or something. I'm going to find him in Vegas and I'm just going to be like, here you go, buddy. Here, literal, like, I'm going to get those mirrors that show what's behind you. I'm going to get those for him to wear in the ring.
I mean, as far as the system tonight, the whole storyline of them proving themselves, I'm like, yeah, you all won. But did we prove ourselves or did we prove that we all cheaters? Because every last one of you cheated. Wait, no, he didn't cheat Cody and Deaner. because he pulled his shoulders up before the 2 minutes and then speared that man out his boots after the second sun, after the first sunset flip. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
You don't need to cheat with Diener.
I mean, if you got to cheat with Diener, baby.
Exactly.
Maybe Diener needs to go under Mance Warner's wing and just get crazy.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Just, yeah, go violent by design. Go back to that.
You literally killed a man, Diener. Bring back that Diener.
Tried to. That guy came back to life.
No, he's a ghost. He's a spectre.
He's a ghost. And only Macklin can see him. That's EY's going to win the international championship because no one can pin him. He's a ghost.
That's true. And I mean, no, he's not, because he's above the title. He's above the championship. That's beneath him.
He owns Anthem. Part of the deal of his resurrection was owning Anthem.
He's above Anthem. He's Anthem Jesus.
I think I pitched that to Macklin in our interview. Where I was like, is EY a ghost? And he just looked at me like, well, he came back to life.
I mean, who's come back to life? The only person I know come back to life, and I don't even know him, and it's a legend, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So...
I'm a Jew. Passover starts on Saturday. I'm not playing this game.
I'm an atheist. I'm just saying stuff.
Well played. Oh, Leon Slater defeats Ryan Nemeth. Tom Hannifin making a Hot Young Briley reference in 2025 is the best. For those who don't know Hot Young Briley, that was Ryan Nemeth. Briley Pierce was his NXT name. That was Ryan Nemeth's NXT name. He said, you know, when we were doing our thing, this guy, Ryan Nemeth, was interviewing talent at NXT. And I thought that was very funny. You can go back and watch it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I did not know what he was talking about.
Yeah, he's talking about Ryan Nemeth, who used to be a part of NXT. Not very long, but yes, Hot Young Briley. Slater's always crisp. He's always good at this. There's good chemistry with Ryan Nemeth. And I think Ryan Nemeth gets a bad rep for some of his extracurriculars that have been going on, the lawsuit stuff and all that bullshit. But honestly, as a wrestler, he's smooth. He's smoother than most. There's good chemistry between these two. I like watching Ryan Nemeth work because it's pretty damn good. He's unfortunately related to his brother, who is much smoother than him. But that's the problem with having a very talented sibling, is that you're often compared to him. I'm not throwing shade at anybody. It's more just you're under your brother's shadow. Brett and Owen, that was the whole crux of their relationship. So, and that's why I was always pushing for Ryan versus Nick Nemeth, is because as a wrestling match, it would be a pretty fun showing. Anyway, Nemeth gets a chair, distracts the referee, another chair comes in. But then as he's like holding it to use, he's waiting and he's moving up against the ropes. This is where I'm like, Ryan Nemeth is great, except he can't get his ring positioning right, because he's sitting there and he takes two steps back, and then the Hardys have to come in and take it away from him. Slater gets the twist of Slate, hits the Swanton 450, gets the win, and there you go. Leon Slater beats Ryan Nemeth because Ryan Nemeth's a big old loser.
I mean, it's the truth. Actually, I have a sports reference to the your brother is more famous than you and you're both are good, but it's hard because your brother's better. I didn't know Steph Curry had a brother. And I found this out recently, that Steph Curry has a brother who also plays basketball. And while he's good, Steph Curry just shoots three-pointers like it's something to do. So I don't even remember his brother's name. I think it's Stephon Curry or something like it's very similar. So there's that. Also, Twist of Slate, that sent me. I lived for that. I really lived for that. And I think that it's really fantastic when you get to meet your heroes or your idols, and it's not a case of never meet your heroes, and they let you get to do the thing you was doing anyway with their blessing. Man, listen, I could never be a wrestler because I got bad knees and a bad back, but if I was, and I got Taz's blessing to be the human suplex machine, oh man, I wouldn't shut up about it.
Oh, fantastic. Have they updated? Yes, they have. Finally. Okay. Next week on the show, Myers takes on Leon Slater. Cody Diener speaks for some reason. And the knockouts are back, Cresta. Let's get to that in a second. Jasmine Nix versus Zaya Brookside. That's Jasmine Nix from NXT. Chikara Jackson from NXT takes on Danny Luna. And Elijah is going to speak. He's going to get something for Rebellion because you got to put him on the card. Ryan Lambert in the chat saying, did Joel just compare the Nemeth to the Heart? I did.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Stand
by. We're having a good time. We're all having a good time. Yeah,
I stand by it. Tonight, you may have noticed no knockouts. A couple of weeks ago, Cresta, you and I were on the show, and I mentioned how cool I thought it was that, or maybe this was the week you were off. Regardless, TNA did a thing a couple of weeks ago where they aired the system promo, where they came to the ring and had their kind of come to Jesus moment, which was, yeah, this was 2 weeks ago. So you were off that week. They aired it on socials. They did not air it on TV, except for a little clip it where they talked about, you know, maybe next week will be a public firing. So that segment was aired exclusively on socials, and then they had a full regular Impact. And I said, that was great. I like that. It was giving a little extra for the social media audience who usually follow Impact, and they get good numbers when they do that. This week, I don't know who decided this was the right answer. When your show has zero knockouts on the program to begin with, that you then ran your only knockouts angle on socials. And how did you do it? You posted maybe an hour before the show, 30 minutes, the 3 minute Tessa sitting in her hotel room chair, yammering about going to New York and going to see Johnny Rods and whatever. I did not watch all 3 minutes. I had no interest. And then the next thing you air is Masha Slamovich, Knockouts champion, coming out of a hospital and saying now it's personal because Tessa beat up Johnny Rods, who was her trainer, coming up in the business. I get what they're trying to do, but again, if you have zero knockouts, zero women on your show for a week, where your knockouts division is highly championed as one of the deepest and best rosters, and you're using NXT's women's roster, which is another very deep, very solid division, why are you, what decision was made to show zero knockouts on your show and think that this was the answer?
I'm gonna be pragmatic here. So if my only knockout segment was a Tessa segment, and for weeks she's been getting booed, not just us, a lot of people say, I don't want to see that, get that off my screen, it would make sense kind of like to bring it backstage so it's not on camera, so people are cheering, boo, get that off my screen. That being said, you should have had a knockouts on this card. With all due respect to everyone on this card, I'm sure there was a justification for people on there. I think one of the staples of TNA is their X division and their knockouts division. The men's always do fantastic, but specifically, TNA is known for their knockouts and their X division. So not having that, or at least a backup, that's, to me, that was an oopsie. Not even an oopsie days, it was an oopsie. However, I get it. If people are complaining about Tessa, I'm going to do it online so you can't complain. Click it at your own peril. Even you said I didn't watch all 3 minutes. I would have watched all 3 minutes. So I get it. I totally get it. But I don't get not having some, even if it was Savannah Evans looking into the camera menacingly calling me a biatch. I would take that.
Normally what they could do is some sort of sit down segment. And, you know, Lish was on the show and Tasha was on the show, but neither of them are featured wrestlers on the show. And that's where it's just a little strange. Normally they'd have some sort of representation, something. And I talked about this before. Going into those tapings, they were down a Knockouts tag team champion because Ash by Elegance is not on the show. And also Nick Nemeth is not on either, on any of these shows, because he was also in Australia during those tapings. Stuff like that. Yeah, like they certainly had time to show you the 2005 Unbreakable triple threat.
Yeah, even though they were hooping, I would have rather seen a woman's match. I mean, I'm gonna keep it even a buck or two, a buck arenier. We didn't need the Nemeth match, respectfully.
There was no reason to air that match when you did not have any knockouts representation, or no interview, no segment, no nothing. That stuff was stupid. So I ask again, what was the reasoning to do that?
And we've
had knockouts heavy episodes. Next week again, you've got a bunch of knockouts matches and a bunch of stuff that's going to come through. But like this week, like, you couldn't do the Jasmine Nick Sia Brookside match this week, couldn't put that in. Like, it's, they air stuff out of order. You, if you really pay attention, you'll see Mackenzie Mitchell wearing a different outfit during some of those matches for the introductions.
Don't do that, because I was focused on her boots being red and yellow. Stop.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at one point, she's wearing one like a green skirt white top combo, and then the other night she's wearing like a leopard print, like an animal print type thing. So you can go and find those. They tape out. They tape them. You know, they air things out of order sometimes.
I'm choosing to be hopeful here, and I'm going to go ahead and say, show business kid.
I'm hoping that someone just screwed up, and next week, you know, it'll be a Knockouts Every Show and they'll have what to talk about. But it just felt very strange and very silly that you have a show, you did not air any Knockouts content, despite having, you know, what's already in the can, what's taped.
Very strange. If this was Collision and I knew who was booking this, that is where I would tell, insert anthem person here, come outside, I just want to talk. Like Tony Khan and Triple E, I just want to talk. Come outside.
I mean, leave your book bag inside. It's Tommy Dreamer and Delirious now.
Okay, Tommy Dreamer, don't make me make you Delirious. I mean, come outside, I just want to talk.
Well, Delirious is a wrestler. Anyway, not important. Unbreakable is next Thursday. We are not doing a post show because A, I am in Vegas, and B, the show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, which is when Cresta will be presumably doing a AEW Collision post show that night, with whom I don't know, but it'll be a busy enough show that you'll want to do that. And also TNA post show probably won't be happening next week because, again, I am in Vegas for WrestleMania. And if Cresta wants to watch Collision while covering TNA, she can do it, but I don't think that's going to be the plan.
What a chaotic show that would be.
Yes. Instead, you'll get a lot of news about what's going on at Rebellion. That will come out next week. And Unbreakable will be a fun show. Again, you've got the triple threat for the International Championship. You've got three of those. So you've got Edwards, Ace, and Macklin on one. Wentz, EY, JDC on the other. AJ Francis takes on the winner of the aforementioned two matches. You got Santana and the Hardys are taking on Ali and the Nemeths. That's a thing. Barbed Wire and Massacre is happening. Sammy Callahan and Mance Warner. And then, of course, you've got Kazarian and Tessa Blanchard versus Joe and Masha. It's a fun plus event. It's going to be a fun plus event, and everything just kind of got thrown up tonight. And I was expecting a Santana and Ali six man of some sorts. Surprisingly, it's the Hardys and the Nemeths, and it'll probably be early enough so that Jeff Hardy can then go to Wally Mania, where he is a guest of honor.
Jeff Hardy being a guest of honor at Wally Mania is peak. Don't worry, Cody. Your invite is coming in like 10 years.
Remind me. Yeah, probably. Remind me to tell you a story once we finish the show about that.
I live for that. I live for that.
Oh, anyway, that's us. We are going to be live. It's not all doom and gloom. We will have a Rebellion post show. That's April 27th. That's a Sunday night. We will be here. Myself, Cresta Star, and Steven Jensen. Steven Jensen, who hosts the Weekender podcast on Fightful Select, best $5.99 in the business, and also The Spotlight with Jeremy Lambert and Steven Jensen airs on Thursdays for free over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Jensen joins us for the pay-per-view shows. So it'll be the three of us reviewing Rebellion on Sunday, April 27th. That is happening, that is for sure. But until then, Cresta, what you got happening?
Not math. I hurt myself in confusion.
It's late. Go to bed.
Ladies and gentlemen, my podcast has been on hiatus, but we will be back next week. This weekend, actually, Monday the 13th. That is the 13th, I think so. I'm not sure. But I'm going to be doing a WrestleMania recap. So if you don't watch WrestleMania and you want to watch WrestleMania and you're not sure about the matches, I'm going to explain what's going on for you. Besides that, every Thursday and Saturday, I am here for the most part every Thursday and Saturday. I'm here over on Fightful talking about TNA with the lovely, the beautiful, the illustrious. He is my wrestling dad, Joel Pearl. And every Saturday, I am there with Rick and Iridian, my wrestling besties, talking about AEW Collision. I'm on all forms of social media at Cresta Star, CrestaStarr, except for Twitter, X, whatever it's called. I'm Cresta the Star, like Megan Thee Stallion, and I don't have Facebook, but you have my heart. Joel, where can they find you?
Easy to find at Joel Pearl on Twitter. It's still Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me there. I'll be sharing my hijinks from WrestleMania week, where I will be next week in Las Vegas, running around like a madman, going to shows, but mostly trying to talk to wrestlers and talent. If you are a wrestler who will be in Las Vegas over WrestleMania week, hit me up in the DMs. I am ready to chat with you. We have a bunch already set up. Some names you know, some names you're going to get to know, and I'm already setting those conversations up and excited for them. And also on Blue Sky, thejoelpearl.com over there. I don't know where I'll be next week, but I won't be on these channels, but I'll be around, so you'll see my face a bunch. So for Crest the Star, you know who I am, you know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, leave a thumbs up on the way out, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call TN Redline, 1-800-889-9789. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Tennessee.